take the scriptures and turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation, and we'll be reading this morning verses 1 through 7 of chapter 2. We start these letters that are written to the seven churches, the first one, and verses 1 through 7 of chapter 2. So Revelation chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. And this is God's word. It is inerrant, infallible, and sufficient for us as Christ's church. This is his word. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my namesake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Well, that is God's word. Chapters 2 and 3 gives us the seven letters to the seven churches that were referred to in chapter 1, verse 11. And the first letter from Jesus to the churches is the first of the church in Ephesus. Verse 1, Jesus says, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. And there's a self-designation. That is a self-designation of Jesus. And you see that in some of the other letters as well. Here it's referring to Jesus who holds the seven stars, who walks amongst the seven golden lampstands. And so remember what we learned last week, that the seven stars refer to the seven ministers of these churches, seven pastors. Or seven elders, however you want to say it. Christ's ambassadors and the church at Ephesus had been troubled by false apostles, false teachers, as it says in verse 2. And they had tried to come in and try to teach these false doctrines. And the church of Ephesus saw them for who they were. They were false, and they were not allowed to stay there. And so verse 1 is a word of comfort for these saints and for all saints. I don't believe we have this trouble here. I might be mistaken. I don't think we have. We do preach the Bible here by God's grace. And so we might not have teachers who have false doctrine, at least yet. Hopefully it will never come. But if it were here, here is your comfort. And if you look out at other churches, and maybe you've been part of other churches, and then a bad pastor would come in and somewhat ruin the church. Leaders come in and ruin the church. You've seen this just in churches around the area. Perhaps you've looked back years ago. They were faithful churches. They proclaimed the gospel. And then nowadays, they're not doing that anymore. And so you've seen that there's false teachers who have come in. And here's your comfort about even those churches now. Because he says that he holds those ministers in his hands. He has authority over, he rules over them, all of them. The false ones and the true ones. He is in authority over all of them. And those churches, all the churches, he walks amongst them. He walks amongst the seven lampstands with the seven churches. And so we draw comfort here that Jesus is in control. He's on the throne. He's in authority. And this congregation in Ephesus, at least probably in its second generation of believers of that congregation, is praised for its work. They're praised for their toil and their endurance. The congregation is also praised for their intolerance about these false teachers. They did not allow them to stay. And so in all their trials thus far, they have been loyal to true doctrine. They have not become weary. But then comes the accusation from Jesus. Jesus says, "You have left your first love. You were zealous for the gospel, for me, Jesus, but now it seems like you've matured." And this happens amongst all of us in some ways. Has for many, anyway. You've matured, you've grown, he's saying, you've left, but then in that growing and in your maturing, even in growing in doctrine and knowing the scriptures, you've forgotten me. You've left your first love. And so here, beloved, this church has fruit. They're working, they're toiling, they have endurance, they have intolerance for false things, false doctrine. So they have fruit, and yet they're lacking in love. This was still, well, maybe we just call it duty. They're doing their duty, but they're lacking in love. Their devotion to the Lord was no longer there, or it was lessening. And Jesus calls them to reflect then upon their sin, upon the fall of man, to come to a change of mind, to repent of their sins and do what they did at first. That is to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to have that, what we would call in the last couple weeks, God-delightedness, and in all of their passion, everything about them would be first on Jesus, that He would be preeminent, that He would have the first place in their hearts. So He calls them to repentance. And Jesus tells them what happens if they continue doing what they've been doing. Keep doing your duty, but if you stay not having that first love that you've had in me, then He says, "I will come and I will remove your lampstand unless you repent." And so the question is that us? Is this us? Have we lost our first love? Have we left Jesus? Do you know that Christ was faithful to this warning, to this church? That church was destroyed. The church in Ephesus. The lampstand removed later in history. But there was good in that church. They hated the Nicolaitans. They hated these people who were immoral. We know they were immoral because Christ even says that He hates them. He hates their deeds. And so here's the call. Where have you left your heart? Where is the love of God in your heart? Is the love of God in your soul? The love of Jesus in your soul? Love of the gospel in your soul with every fiber of your being, because that's what saved you from death. Is it still there? Or is it dwindling? Or is it kind of cold? And Jesus says here, it needs to be a flaming fire. Verse 7, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Notice the plural there. Churches, not just to the church in Ephesus, but to all churches. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what Jesus is saying. The one who overcomes, that is the one who overcomes their sin, who overcomes the devil, who conquers in Christ, who we are more than conquerors in Christ. To the one who conquers sin and the devil, Christ will preserve you. He will not snuff out the lampstand. But He'll preserve you to the end, and He'll give you eternal life. But if you've left your first love, you need to repent and turn to Him now. Or you're in danger of, as a church, if that's us, we're in danger of being snuffed out, being removed. But we can draw comfort here, brethren. Repent of your sin and turn to Jesus, and you'll be comforted in this Almighty King who is enthroned in the heavens. Let's pray. Father, we do praise You. Thank You that, as far as at least I can tell, we are a church who loves Your Word. We're a church who has endured conflict in the past. We're seemingly united. But Lord, I wonder if we've lost our first love. And Lord, we pray that you would cause us to look into our own hearts and seek that out. That you would apply your Spirit and make your Spirit show us where we have left our first love. Lord, I praise you that we hate sin. That we are not weary because you've strengthened us. That we hate immoral sins and of immoral people. Lord, we pray that we would not lose our first love. And if we have, Lord, we pray that we would turn from that sin now and turn to you in faith. Make us not have that coldness or lukewarmness about us, but make us our hearts a flaming fire for Jesus. Lord, we pray also that you would comfort our souls with your truth, the truth that you are King, that you are on the throne, that you rule over all. Even ministers, even those false teachers out there, those churches which are leading many astray, we pray that they would see you and turn from their sins and repent. We pray that we would not be one of them. Oh, Father, we pray that we would be a light on a hill and not covering that light or that lamp, but letting it shine brightly. May the gospel be preached here for many, many, many years until you return. And may we love you and draw comfort all from you because you are King. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.